morning to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 16. Book of Exodus, chapter 16. We'll read the first four verses, and then we'll read verses 10 through verse 15 as well. Exodus 16, begin reading with verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For he had brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. Then over to verse 10, reading through verse 15. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Coming to these verses, Israel had been miraculously brought out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, on dry ground. So what we have is a miraculously delivered people. From verse 1, we learn that they are now between Elim and Sinai in a place called the Wilderness of Sin. So here is a miraculously delivered people, and they're in a wilderness. There is much recorded in Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy of Israel's wilderness life. And what is recorded is designed to teach us, of course, many valuable lessons. We learn from Israel's wilderness life much about our depravity. We learn much about the depravity of mankind in the wilderness life of Israel. We also learn from their wilderness life that there is nothing in the wilderness that ministers to our spiritual life. We also learn from their wilderness life our desperate need of God. Learn all of these things from the wilderness life of Egypt, of Israel. We want to take the main thought of the message from what the Lord said to Moses in verse 4 concerning Israel in the wilderness, concerning this miraculously redeemed people in the wilderness. He says, Behold, again an intention getting word, introducing something extraordinary, something unique is about to be said, something very marvelous is about to be spoken, something of great magnitude. He says, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Notice, I will for you. I will for you. The Lord says to Moses concerning Israel in the wilderness, I will send heavenly bread for you. Notice those two words in particular, for you. Read it again. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. In light of the attitude and spirit of Israel at this time, these are really remarkable words. Here is a miraculously redeemed people in a wilderness, and they also have a divine resource, God Himself. What we have here is a picture of ourselves. We see this as we follow Israel through the Old Testament. I'm going to speak today on the subject of bread from heaven for you. Bread from heaven for you. We want to consider three main points. First of all, a miraculously redeemed people. We pray that you can include yourself in that group. A miraculously redeemed people. Secondly, consider the position and nature of this people. We see that they're in the wilderness, but we also see much about their nature. And then thirdly, we want to see the need of this people and the resource of this people. But first of all, consider them as a redeemed people. Israel in Egypt is a type of the cruel bondage and oppression that every unsaved sinner is in. God bringing Israel out of Egypt is a type of salvation of the unsaved sinner. God raised up a deliverer named Moses. In Exodus chapter 12, there's the blood of the Passover lamb slain for his people. And in Exodus chapter 14, Moses miraculously brings Israel to the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh's armies are in pursuit, and by the almighty power of God, Moses stretches forth his rod, and God rolls back the waters. And Israel, with those waters rolled back, Israel crosses over on dry ground. And then when the last Israelite is crossed over, Moses again stretches forth his rod, and God lets go of the waters. I picture God holding back the waters, and then God just lets go of the waters. And Pharaoh and his mighty army are swallowed up. That's victory. That's victory for the redeemed. For Israel to escape the land of Egypt was a miracle of God. Again, this is a type, this is a shadow, this is an outline of the salvation of a soul. You and I that have been saved have experienced something greater than the type. What is typified is always greater than the type. People today, God's people, will say, oh, holy, if we could only have more Red Sea experiences. You had better than that at salvation. You had something greater than that at salvation. That's only a type. It's only a shadow of our redemption. We have been liberated. We that are saved. We have been liberated. We have been released. We have been rescued from a bondage far, far worse than Egyptian bondage. We have been loosed from the power and grip of one far more fierce, far more cruel than Pharaoh. Our salvation is greater than deliverance from Egypt. We are saved. Jesus Christ the Savior came where we were, broke the binding and holding power of sin, broke the binding and holding power of Satan. He has raised us up. He has lifted us up out of the depths of sin. And sin had brought us into some awful depths. The depths of vileness, the depths of filth, the depths of defilement, and the depths of guilt, and the depths of condemnation, and the depths of alienation, and the depths of estrangement from God, and the depths of darkness, and the depths of enmity against God, and rebellion, and the depths of spiritual bankruptcy. But praise be to God, we've been raised up, we've been lifted up, we've been set free from it all. And it's far greater than the deliverance of Egypt. Or Israel from Egypt. So here we are, we that are saved, we are redeemed. We are miraculously redeemed. We are a miraculously redeemed people. We are the objects of a miracle of God. The objects of God's mercy, the objects of God's grace, the objects of God's long-suffering. That brings us to our position and our nature. The position and nature of this redeemed people. In Exodus chapter 15, the redeemed people, they're so thrilled. They're so excited about what the Lord had done in their lives. Their hearts are overflowing with passion. Their hearts are overflowing with thanksgiving. And they lift up their voice in praise to the one who saved them. In Exodus chapter 15, we see this redeemed people. They are completely absorbed and taken up with the one who had redeemed them. But then, verse 22, they are brought into the wilderness of Shur. It says they went 3 days and found no water. This is their position. May I say, this is the position that God led them to. The wilderness of Shur. For 3 days, this people who had just sang praise to God, this people who had just been miraculously redeemed by the Lord, for 3 days they journey in the hot and sandy wilderness without water. They are experiencing the barrenness of the wilderness. God does that. God causes us to experience the barrenness of the wilderness. And you would think that one or two times experiencing the barrenness of the wilderness, we would learn. There's nothing. But we don't learn that easy. Neither did Israel. In verse 23, they're weary. They're parched. They come to a place called Marah. And there was water there. But it was undrinkable. It was undrinkable. Verse 24, this miraculously redeemed people who 3 days earlier were so thrilled, were so excited, who had experienced the miracle of God, the miraculous power of God. 3 days earlier, they were singing praise to God. And now we read, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink? What are you going to do, Moses? Here's water, but we can't drink it. What are we going to do?" They have already forgotten miraculous power of God. It's in the past. The same God who so miraculously brought them across the Red Sea. The same God who intervened and made, could intervene and make these waters drinkable. And he did. We see that Moses is instructed to cast the tree into the waters, and we see that the bitter was made sweet. He was teaching them at Marah. He was teaching them for those 3 days that they journeyed their need of him. He was teaching them. When he made those bitter waters sweet, he was teaching them, I am your God. I am what you need. I am your resource. Verse 27, God allowed them to rest at a place called Elim. And coming to our text, they have now journeyed from Elim and are between Elim and Sinai in a place called the Wilderness of Sin. It's the 15th day of the second month. It simply means it's been about 30 days since they were miraculously redeemed from Egypt. From since they were brought out from the cruel bondage of Pharaoh and his taskmasters. And there they are in the wilderness. A redeemed people in the wilderness. This is a picture of you and I. This is a picture, this wilderness is a picture of the world. It is the place where you and I, the redeemed, live. It's a place of great restlessness. It's a very unsettled place. It's a place with many, many pitfalls that can leave you maimed and that can leave you with many, many wounds. It is a place of many snags where you can get entangled. It is a place of one obstacle after another. It is a place of desolation. It can be a place of dilemma, a place of great trouble, a place of great difficulty and hardship. It can be a place of suffering, a place of sorrow and affliction. It can be a place of great strain, a place of great stress. And there they are. Led by God into this wilderness. Hear Jesus pray in John 17, in verse 11. He said, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. That's true of the redeemed. These are in the world. And in our text, we see the redeemed of the Lord in the wilderness. And their resources are depleted. And there they are, with nothing to eat, with nothing to drink. And once again, we see the depravity. The whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. God had shown up in their lives in Egypt and had done the miraculous. God had shown up in their lives at Marah and had done the miraculous. Here is a people They have experienced the miraculous power of God, but one change in circumstance, and their song changes. And they begin to murmur. And they begin to complain. There they are, in the place that God has brought them. And just like it was back in Marah, they're trying to figure things out. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? As you read verse 4 of our text, they are basically saying, your deliverance of us has put us in a place where we cannot survive. Yes, Lord, we know that you delivered us from Egypt, but look what you've done. Your deliverance of us has put us in a place where we can't survive. That's a messed up people. Here is a people that just shortly before had experienced the miraculous power of God. And now they are questioning God's ability to take care of them. They are questioning God's ability to provide for them. We've all done it. They are questioning God's wisdom. We've all done it. We still do. Oh, I don't know why God's doing this. You're questioning His wisdom. That statement alone questions His wisdom. The children of Israel were questioning the wisdom of God. They were doubting the power of God. They were questioning and doubting the goodness and the love and the faithfulness of God. They are saying, God, why have you brought us out here? They're saying it to Moses, but they might as well be saying it to God. Moses, why have you brought us to this place? Again, here is a people who had personally experienced the intervening, miraculous, almighty power of God. Yet at this time, the attitude of their heart is far, far from God. Oh, that you and I would always be mindful of the fact you can know this book. You can know what it says and yet be far away from the author. You can sing songs about Jesus, not miss a note, and yet be far, far away from the Jesus of the song. They were led to their location by God, and yet their heart was far from God. May I say, you can be led to the right church, know all the spiritual cliches, and look spiritual, and yet be far, far away from God. Just coming in those doors does not make you close to God. You can come in those doors. Me standing behind this pulpit does not make me close to God. We can do all of these things and be far, far away. And here we have Israel. And at this moment, they are far away from God. Here is a people. They're stuck. They're stuck in this wilderness. There they are. They're tired. They're hungry. They're thirsty. You take a person that is tired,
hungry, thirsty, frustrated. What are they? Irritable. And the children of Israel were an irritable people. And the whole congregation murmured against Moses. Here is a miraculously redeemed people, and they have stopped believing in the God who showed up in Egypt. They have stopped believing in the God who showed up in Marah. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured. Again, just a little while ago, Exodus 15, they were excited. They were filled with praise to God. And oh, how quick you and I can change our song. Oh, how quick. We learn much about ourselves. One change of circumstances, and we go from singing praise to griping and whining. That's what they were doing. And as we look at this, we see ourselves. It's like looking in the mirror. They were a moody people. They were messed up. What we're seeing here is a moody and messed up people. Yes, they've been redeemed, but they're moody and messed up. And look at many of God's people today. It's no different. They're moody and they're messed up. They're a mess. And they're irritable. Some of the grumpiest people on this earth are the redeemed. And we see this in the children of Israel. But they're moody. When they were in the bondage of Egypt, living their lives under the dominion of their cruel taskmasters, they cried, "Oh God, oh God, get us out of Egypt. Oh Lord, we beg you, get us out of Egypt. Lord, we don't have any life here. Lord, it's so hard here. Lord, we're mistreated here. God, you've got to do something. God, would you just get us out of Egypt? We're so miserable." And God showed up and brought him out with a mighty hand. And now listen to him. Egypt! 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 They're chanting for Egypt. Oh God, let us go back to Egypt. This is a moody people. This is a messed up people. Oh God, let us go back. Read verse 4. Oh God, we ate good in Egypt. There was buffets in Egypt. Lord, we had a weekly allowance in Egypt. Lord, we didn't have to live by faith in Egypt. Lord, we didn't have to trust God in Egypt. Oh God, please, let us go back to Egypt. This is a moody people. They're messed up. Their hearts and minds are back in Egypt. Here they are, a miraculously redeemed people, a people loved by God, a people who have personally experienced the greatness of God, and they're missing Egypt. That's messed up. That's messed up. Anytime a child of God misses the world, you're messed up. May I say to all of us that are saved, you have it better on your worst day as a child of God than on your best day in Egypt. Don't ever forget that. On our very worst day,
it's still better than what we had back in Egypt. Yet, if you listen, you can hear the crowd of the redeemed today. Egypt! 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 There is a chant for the world. I might preach on that sometime. That sounds pretty good. Consider the need and the resource of this people. So there they are. They're in a barren and desolate place. They're tired, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're frustrated, they're irritable, they're messed up in their thinking and their attitude. They're far off from God. Here's a people that's up and down, more down than up. A people that cannot sustain any level of spirituality. You ever notice that about ourselves? We don't maintain spirituality very well. Again, another message. Here's a people with little or no spiritual passion, little or no spiritual drive. And there they are, murmuring. And then I just love what we read here at the beginning of verse 4. Then, after listening, after seeing their condition there in verse 3, then said the Lord. Considering the condition of these people, considering what they were doing at this time, you might expect to hear God say, then said the Lord, I will rain down fire and brimstone upon you. That's what you might expect to hear. Then said the Lord, I'm finished with you folks. You ought to know better. I'm finished with all of you. You ought to know better than murmur. There they are murmuring. But hear what God says. I will rain bread from heaven for you. That's grace. That's mercy. I will for you. Here they are murmuring. Their hearts are far from God. They have forgotten God. And God says, I will for you. That's grace. I will for you is grace. No matter when it is. I will rain bread from heaven for you. Oh, the patience of God. The long suffering of God. What he was saying is, I am going to bless you. Not because of you, but I'm going to bless you in spite of you. That's always so. Here's a people in what seems to be no man's land. They desperately need help. Then said the Lord. You see, Israel did not need for Moses and Aaron to give them something. They're beyond what Moses and Aaron can give them. And they did not need for each other to give them something. They needed something from God.
Here was a people, a redeemed people in the wilderness. And here we are, a redeemed people in the wilderness. And just as they, we need something. We need something from God. Because if we're not now, we will be. These people were messed up. And if we're not messed up now, we will be. Just give it some time. You'll be messed up somewhere along the line in your thinking. We'll get moody. We'll get irritable. We need something from God. You see, people can say, well, we're going to go to church today. I sure hope Brother Dan has something to get us through the week. I don't. I don't have anything that's going to get you through the week. I don't have anything that's going to get you through the day. You don't need something from me. We need something from God. I will rain bread from heaven for you. It was no accident that they were in this place. God had brought them into this wilderness. Did He not know that their food was going to run out? Did He not know that they would become hungry? Did He not know that they would become thirsty? That they would become destitute and needy? Did He not know that they would complain? He knew all of those things. In spite of all that, then said the Lord unto Moses. And He's speaking, He's telling Moses what He's going to do for Israel. Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Hear what God's saying. He's saying, I know where you are. I know all about the wilderness that you're in. I know how hot it is. I know how dry it is. I know how exhausted you are. And I know what you're going through. But I'm God. And I not only know what you need, I have what you need. We need to hear God. We need to hear God. God has what is sufficient. God has what is satisfying. God has what is sustaining. He has the bread of heaven. Notice He didn't say, I will rain bread from heaven. That's not all He said. He not only has the bread of heaven, but He has the bread of heaven for you. For you. Wherever you are today, whatever your circumstance may be today, God knows. God knows who you are. God knows your circumstances. He knows your every care. He knows your every burden. He knows your every difficulty. He knows all about your problems. He even knows about the problems you don't even have yet, but you will have. He knows all about your trials, all about your temptations. He knows every battle you fight. He knows every struggle that you have. He knows every obstacle that you encounter. And He knows every doubt of our minds. And He knows every murmuring of our minds. And He knows our every sin. And He knows our every emotion. And He knows our present condition. And He knows our present need. And in the midst of it all, He has heavenly bread, but it's better than that. He has heavenly bread for me. He has heavenly bread for you. I have bread for you. Oh, we need to hear God. We need to hear God say, I will rain bread from heaven for you. For you. And realize again, it's not because of us. It's in spite of us. The very God who showed up and saved our soul, that very God is tuned in to our situation. He is aware of our every circumstance, and He is fully acquainted with all of our griefs, and He has bread, and He has bread for you. Right now, at this present time, He has bread. He has bread for you. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Now notice verse 10 through 15. Verse 10, the latter part of the verse, people looked up and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. We need something from God. Here's what we need. And behold, the glory of the Lord. They now see the glory of the Lord. And in verse 12, he says, I have heard the murmurings. And he hears them all. He hears them even if we don't speak them, if we just think them, he hears it. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them. In light of the fact that I have heard their murmurings, speak unto them. At evening, ye shall be destroyed. I'm glad God's not like that. None of us would be here. None of us would be here. At evening you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. I'm going to do something miraculous, so miraculous, that ye shall know that I am the Lord, your God. We need something from God. We need something that will cause us to know that He is Lord. That He is God. We need something that will last longer than the next change in our circumstances. Something that will cause us to know He's God. He's God. He's God. And He has what I need. And notice in verse 13 and 14, we're not going to read it to save time. But God did what He said He would do. He always does. Then notice verse 15. When the children of Israel saw it, we need to see God's work. When the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. What that means is, what is it? What is that? What is it? What is it? What is it? I don't know. We need, what they were seeing was something they had never seen before. They didn't know what it was. I've never seen that before. What is it? Manna. What is it? It was nothing like they had ever seen. In other words, it was supernatural. That's what we need today. We need the supernatural. And notice God sent it down right where they were. Aren't you glad God can do that? Wherever you are today, whoever you are today, God has bread and God is able to send it down right where you are. You might be far from God. You might be messed up. You might be murmuring and complaining. But I'm telling you, God can work a miracle and He can send it down right where you are. So here we are today. And oh, how we need this supernatural rain. Here we are today, much like Israel. Far off from God, questioning God, trying to figure things out, exhausted, hungry, thirsty, irritable, moody, messed up. And we need something. We need something special from God. We need supernatural rain. We need rain that will cause us to see the glory of God. Oh, that we would go from here and say, oh, it rained today in church. Rain in such a way that we see the glory of the Lord. Rain in such a way that we know He's God. Oh, we ought to go from here not chanting, "He jumped, He jumped, He jumped." And that's what people are doing. They have their mind on the restaurant or wherever else you might go. He jumped, He jumped. We ought to go from here, we have a God! And He has what I need. And He can send it down right where I am. We need that which we've never seen before. God can rain down from heaven that which will cause God's people to get right. That which will cause God's people to let go. That which will cause God's people to forsake and turn and flee from sin. We need rain from heaven that'll break through our schedules. You know what we all do when it does rain? Well, it wasn't supposed to rain today. As if, and we kind of think it's the weatherman's fault. Well, it wasn't supposed, let me tell you something. If it wasn't supposed to rain, it wouldn't have. The very fact that it's raining, it was supposed to. But every time we're saying that, we're basically saying, I didn't have this planned in my schedule. That's the way we are. It wasn't supposed to rain today. We need God to do something that'll interrupt our schedules. You might have plans today. I pray to God that He would rain down in such a way that it'll interrupt your schedule. That God would rain down in such a way that this morning service would go right into the evening service. Interrupt our schedules. But you see, we like to put God on a schedule. All right, Lord, you've got from 11:15 to noon to work. And after that, I'm on my way. I've got things to do. And then, Lord, when I come back this evening, you've got from 6:30 to 7:30, and that's it. We put God on a schedule. Oh, that God would send the rain. In fact, every time we come into the house of God, we ought to be praying, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain upon me. When we get up in the morning, let it rain. That ought to be our prayer. That God would rain upon us. Because the truth is this. We desperately need to be done We need to be finished with calculated, routine, mechanical, go through the motions type of Christianity. We need to be finished with it. Done with it for the rest of our lives. Oh, that God would send the rain. Need to be done. Need to be finished with playing church. Need to be finished with merely acting spiritual and saying the right things. We need to be finished with all of that and get real. Oh, that would rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. How many times do we come into the house of God and we're praying, oh God, let it rain. Let it rain. I need you, Lord. I need something from you today. And that's true every day. God, I need you. Let it rain. Let it rain. Or do we come into the house of God? Egypt! 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 Which is it? This was a messed up people. They couldn't make up their mind. One day, oh God, get us out of Egypt. The next day, oh God, please bring us back to Egypt. Make up your mind! That's what we would have said if we were God. Would you folks just make up your mind? We need a rain that'll cause God's people to make up their mind. It's God or Pharaoh. Which is it? We need from heaven that which only God can give. You see, we're missing it all. Oh, Brother Dan, he just didn't have much for me today. Oh, I sure hope he has more tonight. You're looking in the wrong place. Looking in the wrong place. We need something that only God can give. We need from heaven that which will awaken and arouse God's people. That's what will lift up and stir God's people. That which will cause us to be focused upon God. That which will cause us to be fascinated and enthralled with God. We need some rain. We need some supernatural rain. We need supernatural rain to fall right where we are today. Wherever it is that you are. The question is, do we have the hunger? Do we have the thirst? Do we have the longing and the passion and the boldness to look up and say, let it rain! Let it rain! Let it rain! Do we want it to rain? Do we want God to send down some supernatural rain that'll turn our lives upside down? I'm not talking about a rain that'll just interrupt your schedule for today. I'm talking about a rain that'll turn our lives upside down. Let it rain, God. Let it rain. Let it rain upon us. Here we are saved. Doesn't get much. How glorious. We're saved. Heaven is my home. God is my Father. Jesus Christ is my Savior. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within as my comforter and my enabler. And in addition to all of that, I hear God say, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. All that needs to be our unceasing prayer. Lord, let it rain today. Let it rain in a way that I've never seen it before. What is it? Oh, I long to see God move in such a way that it would even confuse God's people as to what's going on. But they go away knowing He's God. He's God. We ought to live every day knowing that He's God. He showed up in my life when I was down in Egypt. He just showed up. I didn't ask Him to come. I wasn't even planning on Him to come. He just showed up and brought me out of Egypt. And oh, isn't it wonderful when God just shows up and interrupts our lives. The day God showed up and saved my soul, I didn't care what else was going on. It didn't matter. Nothing else mattered. We were too busy. We've got too many things going on. And that gives us, and again, we're all guilty. I preach to myself as much as anyone else. We're all guilty. We put God in a box. We label it schedule. But thanks be to God, sometimes He just shows up. And that's what we long for. That ought to be our prayer every day. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us. Verse song. Let's all stand.